Blog Talk Radio.
If it wasn't for the Messiah,
being so gracious towards us and becoming a living sacrifice, where would we be?
True.
I tell you what we'd be. We wouldn't be. Wouldn't be at all. We would have no hope.
No hope.
And without Yah. And because Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, had such great love for us, he laid it all down, put it all on the line. And I tell you, what a day that's going to be when we actually get to lay our eyes on our Messiah. What a day that's going to be, huh? Is that not going to be a beautiful day? What? Now, that right there will be the true family reunion.
Amen.
That will be the true family reunion. All praises to the Most High Yah.
Hallelujah.
All praises to the Most High Yah. We are here in the land of the living. And this morning on Patreon, I posted quite a few things, especially some old vintage pictures. A lot of people, you know, when you tell them the story about how corn used to be 16 foot tall, that was hard for them to believe until they saw that picture.
Yeah.
So they got pictures like that, pictures of the humble beginnings,
yeah,
and how we were progressing. And mind you, back then, we weren't even getting, what, $3,000, $4,000 a month max, if that most?
Yeah.
If that much.
Few of us on the job.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And mom and dad died, you know, retirement, Social Security. Matter of fact, they weren't even collecting Social Security. They were not collecting Social Security. Matter of fact, we had very little money.
Mm-hmm.
But as the course would have it over years, but managed it very well. You know how we did that? We lived simple. We didn't live above our means. And I mean simple. You'd have called us. You remember the Beverly Hills business before they got to Beverly Hills? That's us. Hmm?
Uh-huh. And we were happy to.
As the old saying go, you can take the country boy out of the country, move him to the city, but you can't take the country out of him. Hmm?
True.
Some of you people that are living in the cities, you ought to thank Yah. At least you're going to have plenty of food to eat there. Now, it's not food sanctioned by Yah. You got plenty of rats to eat. Because New York got plenty of rats.
Rats,
roaches, and if you don't think that your spirit is going to be challenged, you got another thing coming. You remember that song?
Yeah, dude,
yeah, you got another thing coming. And I was getting ready to ask Brother Vernon who sung that one, but you already done let it out. He's probably done heard it, though. And so, therefore, you should make wise moves. Teacher Shane, I was in here sitting and listening to some segments of yesterday's broadcast, yesterday evening's broadcast. And, of course, you have to understand, we be in it. And so it ain't funny, though. When we go back outdoors, man, we be rolling in here. And I think it's because there's just so much truth that's coming forth, if you understand what I mean. So much truth coming forth. I'm going to talk about a few things going on in the country. I want y'all to hear something from South Dakota's governor. This may be a place we ought to consider moving if they think like this. The way she thinks, it sounds like she lives in the South. South Dakota governor criticizes Americans for giving up liberties for a little bit of security. Shout out to South Dakota governor. While avoiding a state stay-at-home order, let's hear what she has to say. All right?
I believe believe in our freedoms and liberties. What I've seen across the country is so many people give up their liberties for just a little bit of security, and they don't have to do that. Now, if a leader...
I got to stop for a second, because most of you, that's like talking French. What she just got through the saying, even though she is making 100% sense. You never give up your liberties and freedoms for trade off of government security. You never do that. And she just talking right. And most of you, you've gotten to the mindset that the government just leave me alone. Government ain't gonna never leave you alone. Now, am I anti-government? No, I'm anti-terrorist. I'm anti-enemies, foreign and domestic. But let me start. Good, try it again.
I believe in our freedoms and liberties. What I've seen across the country is so many people give up their liberties for just a little bit of security, and they don't have to do that. Now, if a leader will take too much power in a time of crisis, that is how we lose our country. So I've felt like I've had to use every single opportunity to talk about why we slow things down. We make decisions based on science and facts and make sure that we're not letting emotion grab a hold of the situation.
You see, did you see Laura Ingraham try to go ahead and shout her down and get her up out of there? I tell you, man, who's that governor right there? We need to put a bid in that she run for president of the United States, since they ain't got enough men that's got enough to stick in a fortitude. And Huspa, she got more than all of them. She got more sense than all of them. That's the way that governors should be talking. Now, I did like the way that President Trump said about the people up there that stormed the city capitol in Michigan. He said they were good people, and the governor should try to negotiate with them. Woo-wee! Boy, I tell you what, man, is that not amazing? And people, you know, you heard what that cat called Dinehorn said. Your pastor is nothing but an internet gangster. How'd I become an internet gangster sitting out here in the country?
Yeah.
You're
in your cartel.
My cartel. Displaying guns. So what's wrong? I'm not displaying guns. They're sitting on the shelf. And one's hanging on the wall. They just happen to be where they're hanging at. What's wrong with that? You go on YouTube, and you see thousands of channels that give you gun classes. They got an arsenal. That's Americans. They got an arsenal up in there. If you don't have one of these, which is the modern-day sword, you are in transgression of what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. You are in 100% transgression. Well, I don't believe that way. Nobody asked what you believe.
Yes.
That's the problem we got today, is we're too busy trying to replace the word of Yah with our own vain opinion rather than lining up with the word and being obedient to the word. We're too busy trying to shape the word and mold the word to suit our selfish self. Now, I know that I say a lot of things, that irritate the living daylights out of people, make people mad. As a matter of fact, I heard on the Sister Sister broadcast, one sister called in and said, I had a rough time listening to Pastor Dow. You know how he is. Now, you know how he talks. But then she found herself, she may go away, right back there again.
Yep.
Right back there again. You know the reason why? I call it the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
How do you people know that the prophets and the apostles didn't have the same behavior that I display? How do you know that? You don't know that, do you? So you're going to condemn. I know that Paul had it. Paul, man, he was dealing with, all types of uprisings in the assemblies. And he had to tell one of you, if you don't think that, you know, they say that his bodily presence is weak and his letters are weighty. You know what Paul said? Don't you think that I won't be that same way when I see you face to face? Now, you are reading translations.
Yeah.
You hear that? You are reading translation. These men mean business. Moses and them was killing their own people. What kind of man you gotta be? You gotta be a warrior to take a knife or a sword and put it to somebody, put it through someone. That's a very uncomfortable, uncomfortable thought to have. And especially your own brother. Man. People need to start considering your ways. Y'all's ways are not unequal. Our ways are unequal.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember one time they were rebuilding the temple, and they kept sending these people to trouble Israel, to trouble the work. And Nehemiah said, I'll tell you what we're going to do about all this. Ezra, all of them. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to work with a weapon in one hand and a hammer in the other. That don't sound like your passive Christianity today, do it? Huh? Man, Christianity is Satan has used that thing to mess people's minds up so, so bad. Well, Kabir sharpened his pencil and ran the numbers. He did. And he was just blown away about what we could be at economically in 10 years if we had everybody on board. But, you know, people are too selfish to do that, though. You'll get a few, and we'll be there, but we won't be there the way we should be. Because the whole idea is for us to gain independence.
Yes.
And we can't do that when you got people who have their own. You notice that every single dream and ambition that some of you have, even after being reared in this, all genders towards you. What myself and the saints that begin straightway, what we all had in common was a total 100% unselfish, unrelenting, motivated spirit of God. And that's where we are today. And some of you have been able to benefit off of our unselfishness.
Very well said. Very well said.
And so what about you? Can somebody benefit off of you being unselfish? See, that's why the book says that we are an ungrateful and an unthankful and an unholy generation. Huh? Ain't that the way the book says it? Let me cover a few things here just for a second before we move on. Things here for a second. Man, I was there. Do you ever do that sometimes? You're looking at something and then you pass right over it.
Yeah.
And you go back and look again and say, man, I just got finished looking there.
Yeah.
Where was it at? You ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
You sure? Okay. So it ain't just, okay, good. I feel better. I don't feel like some motor skills or something. Or something's diminishing that bad.
Yeah, I understand that.
Start in Leviticus chapter 20. Let's read verse 22 through 26. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Everybody doing all right? Glory to the King. It's good to see y'all. Good to see every one of y'all.
Hopefully we're coming in well.
Yeah, how are we coming in? How are we coming in? That's very important. Are y'all able to hear us well? Yep, we're good. Go ahead, teach.
Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes.
Some of them?
All.
Just the ones that I like.
All. all.
But I'm a cherry picker, teacher, and I like certain things, and these other things I don't like, so.
A-L-L, all.
All of his statues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single one of them. All of them. Every single one of them. That means you don't get to cherry pick anything that has been prescribed. We ought to keep them because we are obedient Israelites. Read on.
And all my judgments.
And all his judgments. Read on.
And do them.
You know, think about this. Remember the Sabbath day. The opposite of remember is forget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we done adopted the same attitude on this right here. We don't have to do it. You know what I mean? After all, when you get Christianity relaxed and everything, we're not under law. You know what I mean? And granting you total absolution. It's any wonder that the Most High Yah is even going to find faith when he come back on the earth. Read on.
That the land, whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out.
Now hold that for a second. All right? Hold that 1 second. All right, because we're going to go over to something that I had sent to me this morning. All right? And let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23. And let's read verses 1 through 4. The verses that was sent to me was Jeremiah 23, verses 3 and 4. And what we're going to do is we're going to put this thing to the test. All right? We're going to put it to the test, and then we're going right back to Leviticus 20. Read on, T.
Woe be unto the pastors
that do what?
That destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture.
Well, that doesn't apply to Pastor Dow, because I'm not destroying anything. We're building. Huh? We're building. So the sheep are not scattered. Matter of fact, they're trying to gather to us. Come on.
Saith Yahweh. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people.
You hear this? This is against the pastors that feed my people. So you can't include Kenneth Copeland in this because he's not in Israel.
No.
Are you following me? These are charlatans. They're like a lot of people. Read on.
Ye have scattered my flock.
Uh-huh.
And driven them away.
Driven them away. Come on.
And have not visited them.
When you scatter them, you driven away, you didn't even go and check out and see how they were doing. Come on.
Behold,
mm-hmm.
I will visit upon you.
The what?
The evil of your doing.
You hear that? This is an indictment against wicked shepherds, wicked pastors. Come on.
Says Yahweh.
Uh-huh.
And I will gather the remnant of my flock.
Ah, wait a minute. Look at this. Let's associate this and bring it up till today. And let's see if we fit this bill right here, straightway as a whole. Because remember, you may be listening to my voice, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But you're really, truly, your spirit is hearing his voice, not mine. There's a communication that takes place after these words leave my mouth and they enter to your ears. The Ruach begins to speak to you. He is the one that's convicting. He is the one that is wise. All right? All we are tools and instruments.
Yes.
That's what we are.
Amen.
Easily to be read of all men. We put forth the word of Yah so that you can have a clear signal and hear a clear voice. Read on.
And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries.
Out of some of the countries.
All countries.
And the reason why he said that, because they knew we were going to be scattered. Mm. That's why prophecy is due. Come on.
Whither I have driven them.
And Yah is the one that driven us right out of the land because we had no respect for the land. Therefore, we were serving our enemies. Come on.
And will bring them again to their fold.
Now, he said he will, after he done scattered them and driven them away, he is going to bring them again to their folds. And look at this. And he's also going to tell you how he's going to do it. Read on.
And they shall be fruitful.
And now the one, homework time. You go to know that they're going right back to the fold, to the right way, is because they are going to be fruitful. Is that right? And what else?
And increase.
And they're going to increase. Now, why do you think I stay on this, on us not participating in the credit-based, debt-based society that America has given us, because
yes.
the borrower is a servant to the lender.
Yes.
And there's no way we can be free paying interest to these people.
Amen.
I'm not making any sense. There's no way we can be free paying interest to these people. Read on.
And I will set up shepherds.
He's going to set up what?
Shepherds.
Yah is the one who said he was going to set up shepherds. First, he's the one that has driven his flock out of all these countries. And then he's going to bring us back again, wherever he's driven us. He's going to bring us back again into their fold.
Mm-hmm.
And he said we're going to be fruitful and we're going to increase. Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the way he said he's going to do that, this is after you get to the fold.
Yes.
He says, and I will set up shepherds under them.
Over.
Beside them.
Over.
We have a democracy, and whatever opinion that is the best, that's what we'll pick.
Over.
Oh, so this is not a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Over them. And what are these shepherds supposed to do?
Which shall feed them.
Uh-huh.
And they shall fear no more.
They'll fear no more.
Nor be dismayed.
Nor be dismayed.
Neither shall they be lacking, saith Yahweh.
Well, looks like that's what's going on now. And just like Elder Ricard said over with GOCC, you found out at least one shepherd in this land that if you had obeyed what we've been telling you over the years, you wouldn't be in the condition that a lot of these people have noticed. This is a trial run. The big one's coming. The big one is coming. Let's go back over Leviticus. The big one is coming. Are y'all hearing me?
Right.
Read on.
Leviticus.
Chapter 20.
20.
And we was at, let's go to 23.
Okay.
And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation.
Y'all, so we know we're not supposed to be like the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be like the Italians.
Amen.
Or the Brits.
Amen.
Or the Mexicans, or the Canadians.
Yep.
You know, we're supposed to be like ourselves, right?
Yes.
According to what's laid out, right?
Yep.
So we
yep.
should not walk after the manners. That means their customs, their traditions, their religions, their styles, nothing like that. Nothing. Because everybody has ever come to the Most High Yah this way, the straight way. Only thing we've ever learned is the ways of the heathen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, you don't walk after the manners of the nation. Read on.
Which I cast out before you.
But some of you got second guesses and stuff because some of your family is the heathen nations.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the heathen nation. They ain't thinking about trying to divorce themselves from the traditions and the ideologies and theologies that has been given to them that they can't even fathom letting go of. Come on.
For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them.
Now, that word abhor is a unique word.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very unique word. And I'm sure that many of you, in the pridefulness of your spirit, is not going to like it. Because the Most High Yah is basically saying that his opinion and his attitude of these nations is that they give him a sick feeling. He is grieved. He is literally he loathes them. They are an abhorrence. That is the Most High Yah's opinion of these nations. And that means your family, too, if they're not keeping obedience to Yah. I know it's a troubling thought. It's a troubling thought. Come on.
But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land.
We're going to inherit their land. Come on.
And I will give it unto you to possess it.
Come on.
A land that floweth with milk and honey.
Can you read on?
I am Yahweh, your Elohim, which have separated you from other people.
So, let me see. Yah is pretty I mean, if he's going to separate us from other people, you know what I mean? What's the first thing a lot of your natural family say? They're going to get you out there in the middle of nowhere. Well, I mean, it's better than to be out there in the middle of somewhere, though, isn't it? I mean, his whole agenda, way back from the beginning, was to separate us from the other people.
Yes.
Period.
Period.
And look what else he says.
He shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beasts or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean.
That's why y'all gotta get out of these cities, because y'all gonna be eating rats when ain't no food available. I'm telling you, you're gonna swept down as chicken. We put a difference between clean and unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do, because we don't want our souls abominable to the Most High Yah. Read on.
And ye shall be holy.
We shall be set apart unto him. Come on.
For I, Yahweh, am holy and have severed you from other people.
Notice he said separate. Severed. Severed. Y'all hear that? Severed you from other people. Come on.
That ye should be mine.
Now, there's no way that you could continue to keep living after the manners of the Gentiles, soaking and immersing yourself with the customs and the traditions of the Gentiles, and actually sit up there and say that you're his. It's impossible. Why do you think the Most High y'all got us out here in the middle of nowhere? Come on.
Amen also?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So, y'all see what's going on, right? Y'all see clearly what's going on, what the Most High Yah has done with us. And we got to take this thing serious. All right? Today, we're going to talk about euphemisms. Euphemisms. All right? And, of course, now what a euphemism is, it's a mild or a less direct word. Notice, follow me real close. It's a mild. We often say that it's been sanitized or watered down, you know, or the meaning that is meant to bring forth a concrete understanding has been relaxed. So a euphemism is a mild or less direct word substituted for the one that is harsh or blunt. You know how many things in this world, in this society, you consider to be harsh or blunt simply because of your social conditioning?
Ooh. Good word.
So are y'all listening? Your environment, whether you like it or not, has a direct impact on the way that you perceive and the way you think. It does. It has a literal direct impact. And these things need to be challenged. And what needs to be accepted is the way of Yah. So, it's a direct word substituted for one that is harsh or blunt when referring to something unpleasant or embarrassing. Now, how can the word be unpleasant or embarrassing and me and you afraid to even speak the word? Think about that. In other words, when you speak, when you talk, or if you have to say something to someone concerning y'all's ways, it's easier for you to compromise, which I don't ask you to do, you shouldn't do, and say phrases, say words that are socially acceptable to this modern day culture that we find ourselves in. You know, sometimes when you're speaking, it's almost like you're on pins and needles because you're trying to find words that won't offend the minds of the trained and shaped people in this matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use matrix since people are, you know, like that. You know, I mean, they used to
relate to that.
A euphemism is also the act or an example, and the first definition I gave you came from the actual, believe it or not, the Oxford English Dictionary. The next one is coming from the American Heritage Dictionary. It's an act or an example of substituting a mild, indirect, vague term for one considered harsh, blunt, or offensive. In other words, we live in a religious cultural world which practice hiding the real meanings of the word. And because they have practiced hiding the real meanings of the word, that's the reason why today we can't think like Yah. Mm-hmm. Because in hiding the real meaning of the word, they have relaxed, they have euphemized the Bible through translation. This making sense. So the translators decided to dress down the scriptures to make them more agreeable to the English society because they considered Hebrews to be barbaric. You need to read that over in 1 Corinthians. All right? And one of these examples, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8, then the New Testament. And you remember, I did a newsletter on this. Read on.
I gathered me also silver and gold.
What did you gather?
Silver and gold.
He gathered silver and gold.
And the peculiar treasure of kings.
Of kings.
And of the provinces.
And of the provinces.
I get me. Men singers.
So Solomon was amassing everything in the world that he thought that would bring him some type of lasting joy, peace, and contentment. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Everything that the flesh could lust after, he was getting it all.
Yes.
Is that right? Is that right?
That's right.
All right. And read on.
Got me men singers and women singers.
Uh-huh.
And the delight of the sons of men.
Is what?
As musical instrument.
Now, hold on here for a second. Hold on here. You see, if it wasn't for your pastor exercising a little bit of self-autonomy here, all right, you know, always thinking outside the box, I decided to look at this musical instrument thing, and it's Hebrews 7:7-5. Shaddai. And you know what it says? In other words, the translators, should I say euphemism or did they euphemize?
Probably both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They euphemize the word because it's less favorable to the English construct.
Mm-hmm.
So they relaxed it, they watered it down, they made it socially acceptable. You know what I mean? They gave a very hypocritical perspective and viewpoint because they know that people are not going to actually study to show themselves approved. They know that. But the definition, according to the Brown Driver Briggs, for musical instruments is concubine or wife. A wife. A mistress of a house. Of all sorts. And then at the end of it, they put musical instruments. Now, you tell me, damn it. Does your wife look like a damn six-string banjo? Something that you can play? You see, this is how nonsensical this stuff is. I mean, have you ever blew on your wife and she sounded off like a trumpet? I wouldn't advise you, but have you ever beat her and she sounded like a drum? See, this is the carnage. This is the mental raping that they've done. And mind you, if they did this just in this one area, what kind of audacity and arrogance would they have to even just go even farther?
Mm-hmm.
Because this changed the whole meaning of the whole entire script. Because we know that Solomon had him plenty of wives, plenty of concubines. But they had to put in their musical instruments because, you know why? They were ashamed of a lifestyle of Solomon. And Solomon was wise, right? It's so sad. It is so, so sad. See, the translation should read, "And I gather me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings, and of the providences, and I got me men singers, and women singers, and the delights of the son of men, sons of men, are wives and concubines, and that of all sorts." That's the proper translation. But however, you know, when you go to the Young's Liberal Translation, you know what it says? "And female singers for myself, and the delights of sons of men, a concubine and concubines, and women singers." Isn't that something? It says, "And women singers, and the luxuries of the sons of man, a wife and wives." They just totally just threw out women all together.
Yep.
Just all together. And then you wonder why that this society is hinging on that nasty agenda of homosexuality. That is a euphemism. Does that make sense? That is a euphemism. Go to Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 13. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Song of Solomon. We'll give y'all just a few seconds to get there. What I call a 13 teacher?
Yes.
Here's another example of a euphemism of the male sex organ. Read, teach.
"The mandrakes give a smell."
Now stop. I'm sure it does. But according to the Hebrews 17:36, the mandrakes are the love apple as exciting sexual desire, favoring procreation. In other words, what does that mean? It's talking about the male sex organ. It's talking about the penis. Gives a smell. Read on.
"And at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits."
There you go. Come on.
"New and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved."
Song of Solomon, the Playboy book of the Bible. You see, people may talk like this privately, but definitely not in the open, because we have to put on a certain veneer. So we got to euphemize the scripture. We got to, you know, make it be more socially acceptable. Genesis 16:4, and believe me, we're getting somewhere with all this. We definitely getting somewhere. You know we are. Read on.
"And he went in unto Hagar."
Why don't they just say he just had sex with Hagar? Come on.
"And she conceived."
Mm-hmm.
"And when she saw that she had conceived."
Read on.
"Her mistress was despised in her eyes."
Her mistress was despised. See, now, went in, that's good. We all understand what they're saying. But why don't they just say they had sexual intercourse? Instead of sanitizing stuff to try to make it more socially acceptable. See, again, the Hebrew language is concrete. All other languages are abstract. The Hebrew language deals towards concrete. Things you can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch.
Very tangible, yes.
All right, does that make it sense? Deuteronomy 25, verse 11. And isn't it not amazing to you how open the scriptures are concerning sex, concerning male and female anatomy? Deuteronomy 25, verse 11, read on.
When men strive together,
when
one
they do
with
what?
Another, when men strive together,
come on,
with one with another, and the wife of the one draweth near, or to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand, and taketh him by the secret.
Now, again, there's another example of euphemisms, secrets. Because when you look at that word, secrets, according to the Hebrew, which is Hebrews 40:16, meaning that they grabbed it by the private parts or the genitals. They grabbed his balls.
Balls, yep. Straight on.
Believe it or not, people used to make covenants by grabbing balls.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how we think about that day. You get it?
I went to concert this day.
See, translations do not stay, what they don't do is they don't stay away from sex too long lest Satan has tempted you for your lack of sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
More of a euphemism for the male sex organs. Ezekiel 23:20. And you know, you can tell that the Roman Catholics had their hand in on this, even though they are some of the most detestable, vile, sick people that there are on the face of planet Earth. Vile, sick people on the face of planet Earth. That's what they are. Y'all getting to understand. So, whenever you're reading the English translation of the Bible and scriptures, you need to be reading that with a critical eye, a discerning eye, a discerning. You need to be almost like an investigative report. Read on.
For she, Ezekiel 23:20, for she doted upon their paramours, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, and whose issue is like the issue of horses.
All right now. Y'all hear that? Paramours is Pilias. Pilias. All right? Hebrews 63:70. A concubine. All right? Flesh, the body of human male organs. And the issue was like, the issue is the seminal discharge that actually comes, meaning the penis. That's some sanitation, isn't it? That's some serious sanitation. No wonder we can't understand the Bible, and it seems like it's a disease of thousands of doves and hooves, and we're all over the dang place. Now, when we read, believe it or not, the damn NIV, it says, and she lusted after her lovers whose genitals were like those of donkeys and whose emission was like that of horses. That's rated R.
Yep.
And she longed for lewdness for her youth when in Egypt your bosom was caressed and your young breast fondled. And they got many other translations that say the same thing. The exact same thing. She, in context of that, is Samaria and Jerusalem, Ahola and Ahola, which are Israel and Judah, lusted on their concubines whose genitals were like that of donkeys and whose semen was like that of horses. Now, that's real talk. And that's real translation without mixture. Y'all see where I'm going with all this? Y'all see where I'm going with all this? All right? The word vulgar, simply means common. Basically, the the language of the common people was considered vulgar because it wasn't, it didn't come from a high born status. How to do on that one? You see, this is a false religious system that's been created, a false morality, a false set of self-righteousness, which they are offended by. But yet, this is one of the most unclean religions and countries that there are in the world. We are the septic tank and the cesspool of defilement that is going out defiling the whole world, America. We're leading the way. So if they're saying that the word common is vulgar, then Yahshua, they considered him to be a vulgar man. Because in Mark 12:37, David therefore himself called him master, and which then is he his son, and the common people heard him gladly. We got some issues there then, don't we? So we need to really truly, and that's the reason why our cadence and our language always sounds so different here straightway. Because when we're talking and when we're speaking definitely outside of the box of the religious order and the way that our religious mindsets have been shaped and fashioned. All right, we're in school today, basically. All right? We're basically in school. First Samuel 25:22. Read that.
So and more also do Yah unto the enemies of David. If I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall.
That's making a reference to men. That he's going to kill every man that pisses against the wall. Go to verse 32, same chapter, and read through verse 34.
And David said to Abigail, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as Yahweh Elohim of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall.
So in other words, what we're doing is we're watching basically whoever translated the Bible, the same attitude of these people today. You often hear me say this phrase over and over again. The people are more concerned about having clean mouths while their lives are filthy as hell. You often hear me say that. I mean, that's what we look. That's the hypocrisy of this world. That's the hypocrisy of religion. So when y'all hear me on here speaking so common or vulgar, at least one thing, I have more of a veil of decency than these other people do. At least I love you enough to tell you the truth. And the common people in Yahshua's day heard him gladly.
True.
Think about that for a second. Go to Isaiah 64, verse 6. The whole idea of today is to hope to retool and reshape your minds to think the way that the book says. Because y'all hear me say phrases all the time that is very offensive because I'm not euphemizing the word in preaching either. Read all.
But we are all as unclean things. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
Okay, now let's stop for a second. If all our righteous are a filthy rag, and that's what it says, then what did Yeshayahu actually say? I'm asking again. What did Yeshayahu actually say? Because, I mean, if all our righteous rag. That is a rag that is more filthy than all the rags on the face of planet Earth. Well, let's go find out what it says, Hebrews 57:08. All our righteousness are as a menstrual flux, a soiling. You get that? In other words, all our righteousness is just like a woman when she's menstruating.
Bloody discharge.
A bloody discharge. That is what is called filthy rags. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
See what I mean? It sure does bring a hell of a lot more. Do it not. Translation, all of our righteous doings are like Kotex used up or pads. Now, that's bringing concrete, hard hitting.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, now what? Is this too much for your high-born mind?
That's vulgar.
You get that? Yeah, it is pretty damn vulgar. With emphasis added.
Yeah.
With emphasis added.
Yeah.
That's the reason why when people hear the word today, they have little to none conviction because everything's been euphemized. Euphemisms. These people have learned how to use euphemisms to sanitize the word, to relax the word, to take away the power of the word, and that's why people ain't convicted to turn away from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
And turn away from their sins. Am I making any sense? Am I making any sense whatsoever at all? See, what really needs to happen is people need to wake up, wake the hell up.
Yes.
And come out of this damn religious stupor that we find ourselves in. This making sense? All right, let's go this route. This is a word I'll never use. Bad language. Now, I think I covered this some time ago.
Yes.
We're going to cover this again, though. Long time ago, I covered this. But we're going to go bad language. You see, there are many today that would corrupt the word of God by disguising it behind a veil of decency. You know, after all, y'all got problems. He don't mean what he's saying. Say what he means. He needs our modern-day English help to help him out in understanding.
Yeah.
I mean, because after all, he's a vulgar, low-born, common Messiah. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we English people are high-born, and so we got to help him out a little bit in his speech. See what happens when we have cross-cultural analysis here? Who defines what's decency and what's not? Society or the Hebrew Yahweh? I say Hebrew Yahweh does.
Yes, creator.
Now,
yes.
Etymology. You can go to Etymology online and get to the definition of a lot of words, but etymology. The history of a linguistic form, such as a word shown by tracing its development since its early recorded occurrence in the language where it was founded.
Mm.
By tracing its transmission from one language to another. Now, for the sake of not shocking you, because I know we got children listening, and we still have been keeping it very decent according to our Hebrew culture. And I don't want you to have a religious heart attack. We're going to call this word the FK word.
Yep.
And it's got two other letters in between. See, now, the use of this word was first recorded in 1503, from the old German freaking effing,
yeah,
I'm sanitizing,
yeah,
meaning to strike or to penetrate. It was not viewed as a bad word. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite is true. It was a good word once. Now, because it's been euthanized, does that mean we no longer use this word no more? We don't use it because it has become a bad word,
yeah.
Even though the etymology of this word in itself say that's nothing bad. So guess what? I tell my side, I don't want to ever hear you saying it. That's because I'm the head of my house.
I mean.
But you cannot condemn nobody for saying that they have vulgar language because something done graduated from its original uses and then degraded.
Yes.
Because of where we're at today. To those who have understanding, you look like a fool, a religious fool. You know how many times you deal with people, you hear people talking and they try to sound intelligent, but they really sound as stupid as hell?
Yes.
That's what you look like to those that are informed.
Mm-hmm.
Modern history. Do y'all remember Scarlett O'Hara and Gone with the Wind? Well, she was allowed to show 2 inches of her toes, of her shoes, from under her dress. More was considered indecent. Sound like the House of Prayer, did it? Had a discussion one time with Mother Mulberry about why come people don't wear sandals or flip-flops. Well, our brothers would lust after women's feet. So you're going to go ahead and who made this rule that people can't use? They got to wear closed toe shoes because some mentally insane, demonically inspired person would sit there and lust after somebody's toes. Let me tell you something. All feet don't look good. Matter of fact, the majority of feet don't look good. Why do you think they're on the bottom of your body?
Yeah.
Good mercy me. I said, we got problems. We got some serious problems.
Yeah.
Because it's Hebrew culture that Yahshua wore sandals.
Yes.
Was it not?
Amen.
Most of the people walk around barefooted.
Yeah.
I got an ultimatum for all you high-born speaking English people out here. You halfway civilian savages need to leave me the hell alone. That's what you need to do. And stop judging me.
Amen.
Because the more I keep talking like this, you should figure out the more stupid you've been. Modern history, over the years, pregnant has been masked by many different euphemisms. Among them, a woman could be referred to as being in the family way or with child. I'm still hearing this in the early 70s. Victorians vaguely mentioned that she was in an interesting condition. Is this where you become so self-righteous and become so religious that you know earthly good?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well.
So, today, the King James Bible that we're reading, if it's not the original 1611, we're reading the 1833. The 1833 KJV. You're reading the Noah Webster cleanup version. You know, he brought in the broom. Start cleaning things up.
Sanitized.
That's what he did. He sanitized the word. It's pretty bad, isn't it? John Floro's 1598 Italian English Dictionary, A World of Words. Listen to this. Modern history. In the Victorian era, women were not allowed to have legs. How the hell they walked in? I'm giving you sources now. Don't tell me I'm making this stuff up. Don't tell me I'm making this stuff up. The only acceptable word was limbs. awkwardness and consultation. Women kept event Women kept their feet. I'm trying to see what women kept event their feet carefully covered. There's two things going on. Either they didn't have no toenail clippers, or they didn't have one of these damn rock sandstones to be able to get all that toe jam off of them and all that extra dead skin off the bottom of their feet. Something had to be going on. But you see how things evolve, or and that doesn't mean because it evolved, it's evolved for the best either.
Yeah.
It depends on what lenses and what eyes you're looking through.
Yeah.
Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Exodus 21, verse 2. Everybody doing all right? At least one thing, I know our mind is staying active. Do people really have foot fetishes?
Well, in this day and time, yeah.
I don't even like looking at my own damn feet.
Well, definitely, I don't
mind. Everybody say they're doing all right. I'm glad y'all are, because, boy, this is rough today. This is rough. Torah, sexual needs of a servant. Exodus 21:2, read all the way to verse 4.
If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him.
Okay. That means if this man came in, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a servant. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Then his wife can go out with him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
If his master had given him a wife, and she had borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself.
So what was this doing? This was a provision and an example of a loving Yah making a provision for a man's sexual needs. As a servant who would not have the money or the finances or means to be able to acquire a wife. So he gave her one. So his master, under the permission and sanctions of the law, the Torah, allow him to lend him one of his servants. And again, I ask, how does this strike your American mindset? You probably call it prostitution,
mm-hmm.
or whoredoms, or fornication, or whatever it is. But it's written right here in the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly stated right here in the law of Yahweh. That this man had a servant, he could give his woman to him, but the seed, even though it's a man, it belongs to the one who he's indentured to. So who's right? You or Yahweh? So contrary to popular opinion, this was not even adultery.
True.
Why? It's a law. So as long as there's a headship, we can clearly see from this passage, not all non-husbands and non-wife sexual relationships are sinful, i.e. concubines. It has to be under the sanction and guise of this. I just had a sister out on the east west coast out there whose mother passed away, and she has nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. And one of the brothers who has since moved from the West Coast out here, he asked Elder Doug if it's okay if she moves in with him and his family. Now, we call it moving in, but the truth is, she is actually coming up under his authority.
Yes.
She's actually making herself available. She's actually under his authority. She belongs to him, but not in the sexual sense. She's indentured herself to him.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Now she has headship. You see, we try to dress it up today. We don't want to do it the Bible way. We only want to think the Bible way. If you understand what I mean. And let's go one step up. If he had desire to take her for a wife, he could.
True.
But if he didn't want her at all, he could turn around and give it to his son if he had a son of age.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting to is that here's someone that is in a position to be able to perform what the Torah is saying. And if he so chooses, let's say if a man wanted to come and all of a sudden he fell on hard times, all right, and he needed to serve this man in order to pay off his debt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, follow me. And he ended up, and then the brother ended up giving the girl that came, the woman that came from the West Coast that came into his house, giving it to this man that's come in.
Yes.
And they have children. According to the Torah, the children belongs to the man who allowed her to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, you got problems with that, don't you? Now, the truth is, I don't know nobody today in this day in society as a man is going to want to keep a man back from his own children or seed.
Mm-hmm.
We just letting you know exactly what the book says. Do you love this truth? Are you in love with this truth? Are you still in love with Yah? Is he your all in all? Do you still want to sing songs of Zion to him? Do you still want to praise him? Because I promise you one thing, he don't think the way you think. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and they are clearly defined in Torah. So she's covered, whether you like it or not.
Truth.
Nobody asks you for your opinion. And this is why we sound crazy in this generation, because we're talking to a bunch of people who have a high-born, sanitized mindset. Now, I'm using high-born in a negative and derogatory way.
Yeah.
I'm not giving any credence or any sanction or any approval whatsoever at all for it. I think, if anything, just reverse. Would you consider me vulgar? I think the mindset of today is vulgar.
Yes.
I think the way people comprehend today is very vulgar. I think it's illiterate from a biblical sense.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right?
Yes.
It just don't make no sense. It literally just don't make no sense. Go to 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, teacher. Everybody all right? Now, I know that you can call this, what's one of the highest levels of English in college? That's what we have today. We're in the highest Hebraic level of the etymology of words. Go ahead, read, teach.
1 Kings 4:1.
1 Kings chapter 1.
1.
Yeah, I'm sorry. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
Okay. Now, King David was old and stricken in years.
Uh-huh.
And they covered him with clothes. But he got no heat.
He got no what?
He got no heat.
He was cold.
He was cold, yes.
He was cold. He got no heat. Come on.
Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be salt for my master, the king, a young virgin.
Now, the thinking of the, who you'll call it, his counselors back then,
mm-hmm.
was saying, now, we know that David loved young women. We know that. And if it ain't his time to go, he's going to warm up real fast.
Yeah.
If it's his time to go, he's going to stay cold.
Yes.
So, what was the purpose of them? Think about this. Think about this now. Think about this. He didn't seek for his wives or his concubines. Are y'all listening? had plenty of wives or concubines who could have came and warmed him up. But it didn't say that.
No.
Read verse 2.
Wherefore the servant said unto him, let there be sought for my master the king, a young virgin.
A young what?
Virgin.
And do what?
And let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom.
Uh-huh.
That my master the king may get heat.
Y'all hear that? Let him go get in the bed with him, and let's see if he's going to get some heat. A young virgin. Y'all people sure y'all still want to be Hebrew Israelites? That's the wind. Verse 3.
So they sought for a fair damsel.
Not an ugly, a good-looking damsel.
Throughout all the coast of Israel.
And what did they find?
And found Abishag.
What was she?
A Shunammite.
She wasn't an Israelite?
No, she was a Shunammite.
She was a Shulamite.
Shunammite.
Abishag the Shunammite.
Mm-hmm.
And brought her to
the king.
Read on.
And the damsel was very fair.
But she was really good looking.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasant to the eyes. And what?
And cherished the king.
And she loved the king.
And ministered.
And she ministered to him.
To him. But the king knew her not.
It's among me, y'all would call King David a dirty old man, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't what the Hebrew custom was. But David, no matter how hot, no matter how good looking this woman was, no matter what she said, no matter how much she loved him, the king knew her not. So they knew, guess what? David is on his way out.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a test. Boy, try that today. Boy, y'all Gentile, European, and centric mindset, y'all will come unhinged, unglued. All types of theories and philosophies and theologies and ideologies would all come up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Second Samuel, chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. Everybody all right? Everybody still all right? We won't be before you too much more longer. Hope y'all enjoying this. In other words, yeah, this is stuff that needs to be talked about because it's uncomfortable. Read.
Then David returned to bless his household.
Uh-huh.
And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today.
Oh, boy.
Who uncovered himself.
Now, see, this is a woman that is out of pocket. Y'all, you follow me? She's a wife, not a judge, and you're talking to the king.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's right.
Let's read on what the book says. Come on.
Who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servant.
And now listen, if anything should teach you women today to guard your mouth, this particular instance to teach you, you better learn how to have rule over your own mouth. Read on.
As one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the master, which chose me before thy father and before all his house.
You see, in other words, she was looking through the lenses of you exposed yourself so that all these other women could be looking at you in Israel. David said, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. My intent is clear. What I did was dead before Yah.
Mm-hmm.
You people don't think that Yah will see you when you're in the shower or you're using the bathroom? David said, I did it was before Yahweh, which showed me before your father and before all his house. Read on.
To appoint me ruler over all the people of Yah. Over Israel. Therefore, I will play before Yahweh.
You hear that? He played. In other words, Man, he going to dance. He going to do the electric slide on steroids. He going to get down. Read on.
And I will yet be more vile than thus.
In other words, you think that I was vile then. I'm going to show you what vile is. This is how he talked back to his wife.
And we'll be base in my own sight.
That's how I'm going to get more degraded, even in my own sight. And watch this.
And of the maidservants, which thou hast spoken of?
Yeah.
Of them shall I be had in honor.
They're going to love seeing me cut a fool. They're going to love seeing me dancing.
I mean,
boy, you women, boy, y'all about to foam at the mouth on this one, ain't you? God dang it. Look at this Jezebel spirit, boy. Look at it. You see the way David talked to his wife and his wife tried to assume where his mind was?
Oh, Lord.
You just trying to draw more people. You ain't seen shit yet, woman. And the ones that you feared, watch this.
Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death.
She was barren till the day of her death.
Ooh.
All because of this one dang incident. And you know, all women, if they're real true women, they want their reproach taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine dying in this dishonest state? To where you couldn't even have your reproach taken away all because of the way that you view things through your perspective and your lenses, and then you overstep your limits and your bounds to be able to talk to this man. This is the king.
Yes.
And this is the man after y'all's own heart. The arrogance, the audacity, the unmitigated God. Well, how are you American women today on this one? Huh? Well, I know the sisters stop smiling and stop typing in the text messages now. Where the hearts? Where's the preach path at? Look at that.
Crickets.
David said, you ain't seen nothing. He said, I'm going to make sure I'm getting more vile, more folk. I'm going to make sure I'm going to get up and I'm going to shake my ass so all these women can even love me and honor me and lust after me even more so. That's the unadulterated word, unsanitized.
Not euphemized.
Or, and it's not, and there's no euphemisms added. In other words, see, all the women in Israel want to know the way that they should behave, how they should think, how they should talk. If you go read the book, you can find all these instances.
Yes.
How you can stay in your role and stay in your place and don't overstep your damn bounds. Well, Yah didn't approve what is written.
Yeah.
It was enough to make it in the book.
Oh, yeah.
I desire truth. And the inward part. Inward part.
Not out with inward.
See what I'm talking about? Everybody, man and woman,
yeah.
We got a lot of changing to do. Of our minds. We really truly do. Our custom, our ways is a hell of a lot higher than these damn ways out here.
Yes.
Let's go to good lust. Let's deal with good lust. You know, because lust is going to become a bad word, a naughty word, a nasty word today.
Vulgar.
Yeah, it's a vulgar word. But let's just see if it is. Proverbs 11:23. Everybody all right? Let's roll with it. Come on.
The desire of...
The desire. Now, the word desire in the Hebrew, according to Brown, Drivers, Briggs, or Strong's, Hebrew 83:78, desire is wish, longings of one's heart, lust, appetite. Are you following me? Thing desired, an object desired. Read on, teach.
The desire of the righteous
is what?
Is only good. But the expectation of the wicked
is what?
Is wrath.
Ah, there you go. See, that's when it's good lust. That's when it's good lust. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Verse 31.
But covet earnestly.
Covet earnestly.
The best gifts.
That means desire as well. Something to be jealous over. Zealous. Come on.
And yet, show I unto you a more excellent way.
You hear that? You'll be more excellent in the way if you cover earnestly the best gift.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is that right? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1.
This is a true saying. If a man desire.
That means if he coveted after the what?
The office of a bishop.
Yep.
He desireth.
A what?
A good.
A good work. Of good work. Of good work. Everybody all right? All right. Is everybody all right? Everybody doing good? Glory to the King. Let's go to Matthew 21:31. And verse 32.
Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go in the kingdom of Yah before you.
Wait. The publicans and the who?
Harlots.
The whores are going to go into the kingdom of Yah before some of you. Isn't that something? Come on.
For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him.
Whoa. See the reason why they're going into the kingdom? Because they believed. They believe more than you righteous people. And that's something.
Mm-hmm.
So the publican and the harlot believe them,
and he, when he had seen it, repented not afterward.
Come on.
That you might believe him.
That's the reason why they're going into the kingdom, because over in Hebrews 11:31, Rahab the harlot is included in the faith chapter.
Mm-hmm.
What a list to be in. Huh? What a list to be in. So I hope I said something today to be able to get you to comprehend, to understand the reason why Pastor Dow's speech and language is a hell of a lot different than these modern day preachers. Because when I preach, when I teach, I don't sanitize the words. Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't make the word sociably acceptable. Either you have the ears to hear or you don't. You'll know, because no matter which way you go, you'll be able to judge your own fruit, if it's from Yah or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get out of, I don't like the way he talked, I don't like the way he said it, I don't like the way, no. Nobody asks you about what you like. Did you hear what I said? Nobody asked what you like. I tell you what, I bet John the Baptist was considered a vile man in the day. Because
mm-hmm.
The way the translation is written, I don't think that he talked like that. I think that he said something with some force in order to get his head chopped off.
Cut.
You better believe it. How do I know that? Because that's the way Elijah talked. That's the way that the prophets talked.
Amen.
We have got to really, truly listen. Listen to those who have rule over you. If I'm a laborer that's worthy of his hire, I don't have to tell you. You know it. you know it. And Brother Luke, I got your offer, man. I appreciate it, man. Sure do appreciate it. Appreciate real money. Sure do. Thank you very much. I know you're not listening. So I hope that everybody somewhat understood exactly how that the word has been euphemized. Or there's a lot of euphemisms in the word. And what we need to do is we need to have a mind of revolt. A revolt against this construct that's been given to us. Mm-hmm. And get back to our culture. Go to Jeremiah 17, verse 4. Well, y'all welcome. Just want to let you know, Brother Lucas, got your offering and I got your letter too, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate the wonderful words. As a matter of fact, you know I got it because here's the letter right here. Two pages. And I receive all your offers, and usually I'll receive a letter in the mail here coming up pretty soon. It usually takes me a little while to answer. So we usually get back to you. But however you want me to get back to you super duper fast, whenever you send mail, send me your email address, write your email address in that, and then we can get back to you a hell of a lot more, because the truth is, I don't like the United States Postal Service. I know we have to use it, but I hate having to turn around and give them 50 cents for a stamp when I can just go ahead and use email.
Yes.
If y'all understand what I mean. That's my revolt. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Glory to the King.
Amen.
I've enjoyed this today. What about you?
Oh, yes.
Just a little bit.
Yes.
Guess what? I didn't have to holler and scream. That's one reason why I enjoy it. Man, glory to the King.
Amen.
Read that Jeremiah 17, verse 4.
And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thy inheritance.
Now, back then, that's what the Most High was telling Jeremiah to speak to the people. And they did. But now we're in a restoration of all things. Isn't it right? We're in a restoring. So read on.
That I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not.
You hear that? So now we're coming up out of this. Yah is bringing us out of this with an outstretched hand. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So they literally, our enemies have sanitized and disinfected the word today.
Yes.
There they have. What they sorry. Well, I'm going to try to keep from euphemisms today. From the reverse construct, okay? All right? But I hope that people are really, 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 truly are paying attention to all that has been said today. We have a different morality than a morality that they have given us. We have a different way of lifestyle. We have a totally different construct.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to know who you are as a people is you're going to have to, not only as we give these teachings out, because actually, believe it or not, let me see, when did I do this teaching? Actually, I did this teaching about 2-3 years ago. I went over this teaching 2-3 years ago. And that's the notes that I was actually using. So I hope everybody's encouraged. I truly, truly do. Hopefully we'll be back in the tabernacle. Maybe next Shabbat, we'll see. I know one thing, myself and the brethren, we got to do some practice.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't did no music practice. Believe it or not, bands, they practice all the time. Is that right? All the time. Because believe it or not, even though they're your song, you forget them. I mean, I used to be able to play all these songs on the bass. I can only play one or two now. Now, I'm sure if I play around with it some, I can probably pick it back up. It'll come back in my mind. But I don't hardly play the bass no more, even though that's my favorite musical instrument. I love the bass far above the guitar. Why? I don't know. I guess it's personal preference. Is there something wrong with me on the personal preference? Nah, ain't nothing wrong with me on the personal preference. I was
good.
Love the bass.
Yeah.
Sure do. Used to like the drums, but I don't like them no more because they make me tired. And plus, I'll be back there giving blood sacrifices and stuff too, man. I think I hit my hand and, you know, my finger gets bam. That thing's hurt, man. I remember one day, man, I was back there. Every time I lift my hand to play, blood slinging all over the place. Because I hit my hand so hard. And And you'd never know it, because I didn't miss a beat. I sucked it up really hard. Anybody ever did that before? Just bite down and just take it. And stay the course. Woo-wee! But we're looking forward, hopefully, to get back in the tabernacle, and we'll let you know. We have to be wise, because I told you, we are being watched like it's unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
It's unbelievable. I just got another news source today that the government, somebody up in East Tennessee, somebody decided to trespass on his land and put cameras on. So they can take cameras out there and put it. If we find any camera on our land, I'm going to shoot the shit out of it. That's what I'm going to do. It ain't ours. I'm shooting the camera. I'm destroying it. I'm with you, Brother Gideon. I love my Kimber 45. It's a custom match Pro 2, 22 years old. I love it a hell of a lot over all my Glocks, but I carry the Glocks. One reason is because they have a lot lighter. But, man, I cannot find, my Kimber is just, it's a competition grade 45. It's a custom match too. I love that thing. Love it, love it, love it. More than any handgun I've ever had. Boy, that's a man stopper too, boy. Hallelujah. Anyway, Israel, hey, we bless you all. And mind you, become proactive over there on Patreon. Start commenting. I need to know that you're there. Become proactive over there so that we can have a community of our own over there. And I realize that y'all are watching the videos. I can see it. But become proactive, okay? Hallelujah. Anyway, thank y'all for all your prayers, all your support, all your letters, and the offerings and the stuff that you send. We do appreciate every single one of it. It does not go unnoticed. I want y'all to stay encouraged while we're here in this dang, COVID-19 so-called crisis. Don't get me wrong. I still believe that there's a legit disease, but I think that they're overstretching.
Yes.
I think they're overstepping. I think there's an agenda. I think there's something going on, and I don't like it. So I'm watching all these leprechauns out here. I promise you, I'm watching every single one of them. All right? God bless y'all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat service. We thank you for this word today. We pray these things sink deep down our hearts that it will help put a defibrillator on our mind, that when we look at your word, that we would truly start doing our own due diligence, our own investigation. Thank you for the Ruach to recognize and know the spirit of truth. We thank you because our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Love you, Yah. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Shabbat Shalom, Israel. King coming.